WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Tang from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. It's live. It's a Thursday night. We get to talk Backlash. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, at Lindsay, on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive. Interact with us live, and thank you, Matt, for 70 months.
Yes, thank you, Matt.
Appreciate you. But yeah, we got stuff to get into this evening.
We do. We have news. We have notes. We have PLEs. Because we'll be talking Backlash in the back half of the show. But I said we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And... big news for The Miz. It's been announced that he will host the Amazon Prime Video reboot of American Gladiators. In a statement, they said, "We're excited to officially welcome WWE superstar Mike The Miz Mizanin to American Gladiators. He's the perfect host for the new era of this iconic franchise," said Barry Posnick, general manager of MGM Alternative, Evolution Media, and Big Fish Entertainment. "The U.S. reboot, combined with our epic success in the U.K. and the Live Nation tour and the launch of the 24/7 Gladiators Fast Channel, this isn't just a comeback. It's a cultural revival. Fans old and new are going to love this evolution in sports entertainment."
So for the 15th time...
they're bringing it back.
They're bringing back American Gladiators.
What happened to the last iteration of it? I forget. Did it just, die?
Was that the Hogan one?
That might have been the Hogan one.
Was there one after the Hogan? It might have been one after the Hogan.
And then there was the Rock's version of it, which I don't... I think that just died. I think COVID got that.
Yeah, it wasn't American Gladiators.
No, because I remember they tried to, like... There was the original, which is the original, and it is a benchmark. I don't care what you say. If you were homesick from school, at least from when I was a kid, and that was on, you watched it. That and The Price is Right. And then, you know, if you were really into The Young and the Restless, you hit that too. But then they went away and they tried to bring it back, I feel like, in the early 2000s. And so then again teens.
They brought it back in 2008. That was the Hogan one. They tried reviving it in 2014 and 2018. And then in 2021, there was talk of doing it with WWE Superstars. And now here we are in 2025. Because there's a British one, and there was a Gladiators 2000. There's been a bunch. And then there was the whole 30 for 30 on American Gladiators that got people talking to.
Yeah. I hope this go round that they actually pay them well, because if you watch all the stuff on what happened to the original Gladiators, it's actually really sad. So I hope that they take care of this group of people this go round.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of hope they also incorporate any of the originals that want to come back and want to be a part of it, because that would actually be really cool.
Wouldn't they be too old at this point?
They could, not to participate, but to be guests. Commentary or something. I don't know.
Are they still alive?
I think some of them are, yeah. I know some of the girls are.
I mean, they could always bring some of them back. Yeah, it's worth a shot.
Get them a payday. Do the thing. Get them a payday.
Mm-hmm.
So, congratulations to The Miz. He's kind of beginning that transition, because he's also got a new Old Spice spot. So, he's kind of getting back in that groove, but they're sort of transitioning him into another sort of role, I think.
Yeah, he's doing outside.
He probably looks to retire.
Yeah.
Because I saw him in that Old Spice spot, and you can tell he's not as buff as he once was. But there's nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing, zero, nothing wrong with it. But you could just tell he's maybe not doing as much as he used to.
Yeah, his schedule's
completely... Or he's changed.
He's slowed down a lot.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah, because the whole schedule is for wrestlers and WWE have changed. They're not working much.
Yeah. So there you go. And good news for Braun Strowman as well. during the NBC Upfronts, it was announced that WWE-produced series starring Braun Strowman would debut on the USA Network this fall. Despite Strowman's recent release from WWE, it's still on. Everything on the menu with Braun Strowman. Everything on the menu with Braun Strowman is a new food format with a big appetite. Each episode joined WWE legend Braun Strowman as he eats his way across America while on the road for WWE, ordering everything from everyday menu items to trying to down every last bite. I can read, I promise. Everything on the menu with Braun Strowman is produced by WWE Studios and Bright North Studios. So it's just him
eating? Yeah. So what it sounds like to me, it's like the Eric Young off the hook extreme catches, where he traveled the world and did different things. This is Braun Strowman traveling the country eating.
You know what it reminds me of is the guy that goes around LA eating food in his car.
That too.
No, that's the vibe I'm picking up.
I like how they slipped in WWE legend, not WWE superstar. WWE legend. But hey,
you gotta update those press releases, man.
Yeah, so the show's already filmed, which is why it's just gonna premiere it this fall, even though he was released. So he'll still get one last payday, or got one last payday for this gig. So
good for him. Maybe picked up for a season two.
Yeah.
Let's see. All Elite Wrestling is returning to Chicago for an extended stay in July. The wrestling promotion will perform its first multi-week residency at the Byline Bank Aragon Ballroom. That is a name! From July 16th to July 31st, AEW's Chicago residency includes 3 tapings of Dynamite, its flagship show, which airs on Wednesdays, and 3 editions of Collision, which airs on Saturdays, with special live tapings sprinkled in for fun.
Which means ROH content.
Yeah. I just like how they have it sprinkled in.
Yeah, it's largely Dynamite and Collision, with just ROH probably being taped in process. So that's the second residency this summer for AEW.
Because
we talked about Philly last week, Now this week, it's going to be Chicago, which they were just in last night. So they're running it back, but this time in a smaller venue for a longer period of time. It's an interesting thing because you would think in the summer you'd be able to tour and more people would be able to go to your shows because school's out, kids can go to shows, people are looking for things to do in the summer. But now you're just keeping it in Chicago, you're keeping it in Philly for the most part, so it's like, huh, it's weird timing to run a residency like that. But
It's probably very cost effective, but I do find it a tad bit concerning because that's kind of what TNA started doing when things began to sort of like go downhill a little bit, is they stopped traveling as much. Mm-hmm. And they started to stay in places for longer periods of time. Like I think they went back to Orlando. Was it Orlando or did they go back to Nashville for a while? I forget which it was. But they like went and they stayed somewhere for a while and then they kind of went back on the road. I think it was Orlando because I went to one of the last road shows. And then they went back to Orlando and then they just stayed in Orlando until they left and they had to go back to Nashville for a while.
Yeah.
And then everything happened that happened after that. But like, it's kind of concerning and I hope there's nothing wrong. I hope everything's going okay. Like, I'm sure it is. Like, but I guess I don't understand why they would do two. Like, one, okay, that makes sense. You want to chill in Philly for a bit. You're going to tape in Philly for a bit. That's fine. Nothing wrong with it at all. But like to do two, like you said, especially in the summer, like the timing is weird. The timing is particularly weird because, as you mentioned, kids are out. People are looking to do stuff, events, whatnot. And so it just seems rather strange that they would pick now of all things to like do a Philly residence or do a Chicago residence and a Philly residence.
Yeah. So we'll see.
We'll see. That's all we can do. Let's just see. But good news for Swerve Strickland. He has gotten or he is getting his own Reebok Answer 3 collaboration, which is really cool. The special colorway of Allen Iverson's signature shoe takes cues from the Killmonger's gear Swerve wore when he became AEW World Champion at Dynasty 2024. They will be available on May 28th for a cool $160. So shoe aficionados, if you're out there, here you go. Go get you some.
Yeah.
I believe they'll be available for sale online.
I believe so.
Because I have no idea where you go buy special Reeboks anymore. I have no clue. I think everywhere I know where you would buy them has closed.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Well, except maybe Foot Locker. I think Foot Locker is open still, but they, like, got acquired by Dick's. I saw that story. And I was like, well, okay then. Alrighty. So, like, I have maybe DSW. I don't know, like, where you would go buy these other than online at this stage. Because all the shoe stores that I am familiar with are pretty much gone. Which makes me sad. But yeah, go buy you some Reeboks. Good news for Willow Nightingale as well. She signed a new multi-year deal with AEW, so congratulations to her.
They got her on a new contract, so
hopefully she got that money, money, money.
Yeah, hopefully she did, because her contract was coming up this year, so she got signed. So yeah, I've heard about Jim Ross. It's sad. Hopefully
Jim Ross?
Okay, so it's not a news because it's a sad subject, but Jim Ross, he's going into surgery for colon cancer.
Oh no, poor Jim.
So hopefully he recovers from it.
His second bout with cancer, isn't it? Because he had skin cancer too, didn't he?
Yes.
Oh God, poor man. Hopefully everything goes okay. Like, feel better, Jim.
But with Willow Nightingale, it's like, okay, she signed. Now, the other shoe to drop is Mariah May, because she's also in a contract year, and she hasn't been seen on television since February. So, I think she's not being the one being re-signed. So, here we are.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiO! Well, hopefully she is. Like, hopefully she gets what she needs out of it, but we'll see. And then, last but certainly not least in terms of the news, TNA's Joe Hendry, Nick and Ryan Nemeth, and Moose will be a part of AAA's Triple Mania Regia on June 15th.
First time TNA superstars will be a part of it. You also have Angel and Angel Garza and Humberto there as well. JBL should be an interesting time.
Partnership, man. Wrestling yep. promotions working together. You gotta love it.
Yes, I mean, since WWE owns it, big things happening.
Let's go.
So there you go.
But so there we go. So with that, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Backlash. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone, go Simpson.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
And you're listening to the Rat Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are back and talking all about Backlash, which was this past Saturday on the Peacocks here in the United States and on the Netflixes worldwide. And this was a fun show. This was a good show. Would I say it was like a barn burner or, you know, best show ever? No, but I would say it was good. It was very entertaining.
It was a very entertaining show. There was nothing bad about the show. Everything that was supposed to happen happened. It delivered on all accounts. You got what you paid for was a John Cena Randy Orton main event, and you got a John Cena Randy Orton typical main event.
It was oddly nostalgic.
And that's what you paid for.
I hate it was nostalgic. Like, I really seriously hate it was.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, I'm old. Oh, man. Just, I realized this. We saw Randy Orton debut. We saw John Cena debut. And yeah. Now we're watching Cena retire.
Yep.
We're going to watch Orton retire. It's like, oh, God, I feel so old.
We're going to watch a lot of people retire.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. But it's just like, oh, man. Like, I remember when Randy Orton was 20-something punk kid. Same as Cena.
Yep.
Oh, God. But anyway, yeah, this was a very good show. Very entertaining. We opened with Jacob Fatu defending his United States Championship against LA Knight, Damian Priest, and Drew McIntyre. This was a rehash from WrestleMania where they took two matches and they smashed them together. And here we are. I really liked this match. I thought this was good. I thought it was fun. You had some really quality interactions with everybody. But for the most part, people stayed within their respective views, but you did have that crossover. We had them all work well together. And Jacob, of course, just looked like a freaking beast. Damian Priest, I thought, was super impressive in this. Like, the choke slam through the table in the crowd was pretty hot. Yeah, I thought this was super good. Like, all of them were over, too. Like, they were chanting for Jacob Fatu.
Which, you know, is surprising since he's supposed to be the heel.
You know how wrestling crowds be.
I do. We saw the debut of Jeff Cobb.
We did. That was unexpected.
It was unexpectedly expected because he was on his way. Solo brought him in. Jacob was very confused. There were a couple moments in this match where it's like, before Jeff Cobb showed up, it was like, oh, I thought Jacob would have won there, but they kept the match going mm-hmm. because with the interference and everything that would follow. Yeah, it was a good brawl. It felt like a brawl at times, especially with Damian and Drew, especially in the crowd. But yeah, it was mentioned Sunday that it was two different matches in one because it's the two feuds that were going on, and it appears that Drew McIntyre Damian Priest feud is continuing for a little bit while longer. This should have put the nail in the coffin for LA Knight getting his U.S. title back. I think it's time for Jacob to go fight someone else. Yeah, it was a good match. It was a good opener. Crowd really enjoyed it, and it kept the start of the show off right.
And Jacob is now looking over his shoulder, both physically and, you know, figuratively, because, well, Solo Sikoa is making moves, and Jacob may not be as secure as he thinks he is, so we'll have to see where this goes, but yeah. Really, really, really great, fantastic opener. They followed this up with another banger. Lyra Valkyria taking on Becky Lynch for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. These two went to town. This was probably my match of the night because I thought this was just absolutely fantastic. It was hard hitting. It was physical. There was a lot of like fake pinfalls. There was a lot of like, you know, just back and forth. And aggression, and that's what you want to see, especially considering this is sort of like a speed feud from yeah. WrestleMania. They only had like 2 to 3 weeks to build this, so they put like a lot of aggression in the match, which was good to see. You had Becky owning the heel role, even though the crowd was chanting for her. You had Lyra, you know, kind of sort of being a baby face, but not like that pure good baby face. She was like, yeah, no, I just really want to punch you in the face. Which was nice to see.
Yeah.
And there were no shenanigans in this, which was also super nice. Like, I think one of my low key concerns was Bailey might show up, and thankfully she did not.
Yeah, it was a little too early for the Bailey to return. I think we're a few weeks out before she makes her comeback to television in the story. Yeah, they had a really good match. I thought it was a match that kind of put Lyra on the map, which is what Becky's known for doing, is putting people, like, giving them an opportunity to shine. Lyra coming out on top was the right move. Mm-hmm. Even though Becky got her heat back, possibly breaking her nose, that was never confirmed. So that's why I was never on Blame Brent, that her nose may have been broken. But yeah,
unofficial Blame Brent.
Unofficial Blame Brent. No, I thought Lyra had a really standout performance. The push this year is to kind of make her, and her beating Becky in this fashion, but even though Becky got the heat back a little bit afterwards, it's a benchmark win for Lyra. She kept her title when many people thought she wouldn't, because everyone thought it would be an easy way to just put the belt on Becky and let it run. But that was not the case here. It's to establish Lyra as a champion, as a top-tiered player in the division. Like, they need some new women to get up to the top. They're working with Julia and Roxanne to slowly move them up to the main roster. Lyra is now getting her chance to prove herself. So girls like Becky and Rhea and Bianca and Io have other challengers to fight going forward. So elevating the division with Lyra was a smart idea here, and hopefully continues going forward.
Yeah, and Lyra, just to echo what you said, I feel like Lyra really needed this, especially this win, because as you say, it is a benchmark win, but just in general, because it's like she's been having matches and they've been good matches, but this is the really solid proof that she can hang on that next level, right? Yeah. Like that they could take the Intercontinental Championship off of her, and they could move her into the main title picture, and she would be able to handle herself both on the mic and in the ring. Like, I think they were never concerned about her in the ring. She's always been very solid, but her mic work, especially in the last couple weeks in this feud, has really come up, and she's really sort of shown, I think, a different side of herself than what we've seen in the past with her. And so it was really nice to see her get that win, get that victory. And as you said, Becky, you know, beat her up right afterwards. So, you know, all is good in that world. But it was nice to see Lyra get that clean, decisive win over Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
So good for her. Good for Becky. And yeah, we'll see where this goes. Up next, we had Dominic Mysterio defending his Intercontinental Championship against the man they call Penta, who is not over at all. Totally not over at all.
Totally not over.
Holy shit.
This was a solid match. We had the interference with Finn trying to help and kind of almost cost him, but he was making the right move. You had Chad Gable, a.k.a. El Grande Americano, interfere as well. So you continued both stories, and we saw that happen continue on Raw as well. But yeah, no, this was a solid middle-of-the-show match. Nothing really stood out. You had interference, but that's pretty much what stood out the most. Otherwise, it was just a solid match between two solid wrestlers.
Yeah, it felt like everybody got involved in this. You had the Judgment Day, you had El Grande Americano, you kind of had, like, everybody that is involved in this get involved. You didn't have anybody on Penta's side, unfortunately, but everybody on Dom's side, more or less, got involved and helped him pick up the victory.
Yeah.
I said this on Sunday, I will say this again. They have backed off the El Grande Americano stuff a bit since WrestleMania, which I think was the right call, honestly, because I don't think it was necessarily resonating well. And so, or they had other stuff going on. I don't know. They were hearing people talking about it. But they definitely did back off of it a little bit. And now they're sort of coming back with it, where they're working him back in this feud with Penta. It's very obvious that Penta is going to come out of the Dom feud, and he's going to go with Gable / Americano. I would just ask this. Like, I understand it was going to go past WrestleMania. We all knew that, and that's fine. I just don't want this to drag out. That's my one fear with it. Like, if we go to the next pay-per-view, whether it's Saturday Night's Main Event or it's the next, like, actual PLE, then and it ends there, then that's fine. I'm okay with that. But like, I don't want to be in September and we're still doing this feud, because to me, this doesn't have the shelf life to get them there. Like, I'm already a little tired of it, to be honest. So it's like, just get it over with. Like, go ahead and reveal it's Gable. Go ahead and move it on and have Gable get his comeuppance. And then we do the next thing, whatever you're going to do with him.
Did you know?
But that's my only.
That El Grande Americano is the WWE Speed Champion?
Yes, I did know that.
It's not going away anytime soon.
But I want it to.
I understand that. It's not.
At the very least, at the very, very, very least, we've talked about this before. I want them to change how they talk about him, because I want the acknowledgement from the announcers that it's just Chad Gable being stupid. And you have Michael Cole doing that, where he's very clearly calling out that it is Chad Gable in a mask. But you're having your sort of heel color commentators be like, oh, no, that's not Chad Gable. That's somebody else. Just start having them be like, no, that's Chad Gable. And he's being stupid. That's all.
Okay.
That's my only thing. But the match with Penta and Dom, it was fine. Dom retains and we move on.
Indeed.
This one was an eye popper. Gunther takes on Pat McAfee in just a regular old singles match. And I will say this, and I say this with the maddest respect possible. Pat McAfee took that whooping like a man. Because God damn, Gunther beat the shit out of him.
Gunther beat the shit out of him. Yeah.
Popped his eyeball and everything. Like, he had a blood vessel broken in his eye from supposedly how hard Gunther hit him. But I didn't have high expectations for this match. I'm just going to throw that out there. But this at least met or exceeded the expectations. You can tell Pat has not been in the ring for a while. You can tell he's kind of rusty. You can tell that, like, he's just not on Gunther's level, and that's fine because he's a commentator. So it's like, whatever. But it's like, at least Pat was out there trying. And that's all we can ask for, is Pat was out there trying. And Gunther was out there making Pat look fantastic.
He was.
Like, Gunther, you know what? To Gunther, because he handled that like a pro. He took care of Pat. He took care of everything. He made sure it all went smoothly. And I know Pat helped. Like, I'm not trying to take anything away from Pat. But, like, Gunther ran that like a champ. And it went a lot better than I think anybody expected it to. Yeah. It also went longer than I thought it was going to go by a significant margin.
It went a little bit longer. But it had the drama. There were some near falls where you thought maybe Pat was winning. But ultimately,
they teased me.
They did. They got you.
They teased me so hard. Like, when Gunther was beating him up and then Pat, like, started to have the comeback, I was like, oh my god, they're not going to do it, are they? They're not going to do it. Give me my chaos. Just give me my goddamn chaos. Just do it. And did they? No. They did not.
They did not.
I had a sack.
Pat lost. Pat had a red hurt chest afterwards. As you mentioned, popped a blood vessel in his eye. You know, good fight. It was a good fight.
It was. It was a very good fight. It was a very good match. Congrats to both men. Michael Cole did get involved. There were shenanigans. He grabbed Gunter's foot at one point. He played a distraction for Gunther at one point. Cole came out unscathed. I think what I have to give the props most to in this match was the storytelling. Like, they did a really good job of telling the story in this. Even if physicality wasn't necessarily always there, the storytelling was.
Yeah.
And Pat and Gunther did a beautiful job of selling that.
They did.
And Cole too. But the one thing, you and I, we didn't think about it. We sat here and we talked about this match and who's going to come to their aid? We forgot about Wade Barrett.
I didn't forget
about Wade. How could we forget about Wade Barrett?
I didn't forget. He's retired. He wasn't going to get involved. I knew he wouldn't.
But I saw him at ringside and I was like, we forgot about Barrett. Shit. It's like, well, he could do it. He could jump in. He could say Pat. You know, he could do the thing. He's all cool like that.
He could, but he didn't.
No, he did not. But that's okay. That's
yeah. Right.
And your main event of the evening, the last time in theory ever for singles, supposedly.
It is the last
John
time.
John Cena.
It was the last time. It was the last time.
Never say never in WWE. John Cena took on Randy Orton for the undisputed WWE Championship. this was a John Cena Randy Orton match with the roles flipped. We had John Cena doing basically all of Randy's stuff in terms of the heel tactics. Like, yeah. He went for the handshake and slapped him.
And that, we had the old-fashioned Orton stomp. We had headlocks, chinlock, AAs.
Rest holds.
Rest holds. It was your match. For about 20 minutes, for 20 minutes, it was your standard match, and then you did the plunder a little bit with the ref bumps and everything.
I have to give props to Cena for going through tables. I didn't think he was going to do that. Cena and Orton, for that matter.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to do that, and they were just like, yeah, F it, let's go. But you know what I want them to do for this run? And I was thinking about this when I was rewatching the show. Instead of the AA, I want them to take it back to the STFU.
You mean the FU?
Yes.
The STFU is the submission.
The FU, then.
Yeah.
The original name for the thing before they made him change it. Like, just for this run. Because they could technically get away with it.
Not really. Because he's been on SmackDown and stuff, so you really can't. USA. Still very PG. If he's wrestling on Netflix and stuff, then yeah, but they're still in the PG part of it.
Want them to do it, though. It'd be so cool. Just because it would fit. It would fit what he's doing perfectly.
Cole, I think, did call it the STFU instead of just the STF. So I think that did get slipped in. Intentionally or unintentionally.
Make it intentional. Do it. Do it, Michael. You have tenure. You can get away with it. But yeah, we had tables. We had Randy Orton disliking Prime after he tried it, which was probably a highlight of the match for a lot of people. We had R-Truth get involved for whatever reason. And he ended up costing Randy Orton the match, where he stopped Orton from punting Cena. R-Truth earned a RKO for his trouble. Cena got up and, you know, it is the year of our Lord 2025. These men's need to learn how to protect their junk. I'm serious about that. They make products for that.
Never.
You need to take care of your boys. Boys, that's all I'm going to say, because Cena low-blowed Orton. Orton goes down like a sack of potatoes. 1, 2, 3. Cena retains after the mat, or the title. After the match, Cena cut a little promo about how, you know, basically St. Louis can go F themselves.
Yeah. I like that.
It was good. It was really good. And then, did Orton RKO everybody, or was that Raw?
That was during the match.
That was during the match, okay. I'm trying to remember. It's like wrestling happened. But yeah, Randy gave a round of RKOs to everybody, like you do. Mm. So we'll see if there's any consequences from that. Where Randy goes from here, it's hard to say. With Kevin being out, I'm sure they'll find him something to do.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. He'll have a run-in with authority figures.
But he'll be doing Randy Orton things all summer, so we have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I'm actually kind of looking forward, if they do it, I don't know if they're going to do it or not, and I remember them talking about this on Sunday, but the R-Truth Cena feud, it will be stupid. It will be so stupid. But it will also be hilarious and good.
No, that's the match. It's Saturday night's main event, so it's going to be R-Truth and John Cena. They're setting up tomorrow. They will set up the press conference, and they'll make it official tomorrow. That's the match.
I'm here for it. Like, Sunny's going to put over who he wants to put over, and if anybody deserves it, honestly, it is R-Truth, because that man has just the lasting power of nobody I've ever seen in that company. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been keeping this character going for how long? It's been years.
Yeah.
Literal years. Like, give the man his flowers. That's all I'm going to say. Give R-Truth his flowers, because he's earned them.
He came in every respect. He came in in 2000 to WWE, 1999 and 2000, and came back, 2005?
With Road Dogg, right?
No, 2000 he was in with Road Dogg, and then he came back after his TNA run. And has been on a roll since. So
there you go.
Yeah. It was a good show.
This did everything it needed to do. Like, there was nothing earth-shattering that was going to happen on this show. It was 3 weeks after WrestleMania. They built what they could build, and they put on a very solid, entertaining show, which is all you could ever hope and to ask for, especially since they're going, like, Backlash, Saturday night's main event, and then whatever the next one is after that. And they're just rapid-firing shows. and they're building to those that next set of like really big feuds, and they're building that as they're building for these shows. And so it's going to be a lot of like, just we're going to roll through all of this. And I'm okay with that, because after the extended build for WrestleMania, I'm kind of okay with the rapid fire for a while. Like, I'm kind of okay with the fast pace, because it's like, okay, now we're moving, now we're doing stuff. Whereas like WrestleMania, by the end, it felt like it had just really stretched out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dear God, please just put the show on. Please, please just do the show. Like, this is as build as you're going to build it. You can't go anymore. You can't do anymore. Just put the damn show on. This is very much, we're kind of back in that rapid pace, and they're building as they go, and they're doing it well.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of crossover and a lot of stuff mixing together.
Yeah, they have a lot of content coming up. We got Money in the Bank in June. We have Saudi show at the end of June. We have SummerSlam at the beginning of August. Then there's another Saturday Night's Main Event in July, which is in Atlanta, which may also have Evolution 2. They got the World's Collide show. There's a lot of content coming up. So we're going to see a lot of things. And they got to build two nights of SummerSlam. So once they get through like Money in the Bank and stuff, we're gonna just sort of figure it out. And then, because we gotta fill two nights. So, yeah. It'll be fun. It's gonna be a fun summer in WWE.
I'm looking forward to it, honestly. Oh, I don't think they've announced it yet.
No, it's not. That's the rumored location. The date is, they're waiting to announce the date. But it's going to be in Atlanta.
Put it downtown. Please put it downtown. Don't put it in Gwinnett. Put it downtown. The last time they had it here. Oh, wait, no, that was Starrcade. They did Starrcade out in Gwinnett. Because that was the show that I went to that had that horrible cage match.
No, you're going to get the big, probably State Farm Arena. Probably. Yeah, it'll be a Saturday night, so it should be fun.
But that's our show.
That is, in fact, our show.
So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Which means Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It's another edition of CB Radio. I forget what we're doing. Stuff. It's on the schedule. I have to look. I forget what we're doing. But it's Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night, it's WTR, Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to talk Saturday night's main event. We'll preview that show. Hopefully there's more than two matches announced for them to talk about, so we'll see. Monday night's Raw post show, whenever Monday Night Raw ends, we'll be live. And then we'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. For another edition of The Rack. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms where you get your podcasts. Just search The Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKETSUCK or
Lin's M. Ward
in the Fortnite Item Shop or Epic Game Store. When you buy Star Wars, get your free games and everything. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. We have been streaming Genshin Impact. We may dive into some Star Rail. We will definitely next week because there's a banner flip. And you can also check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/@LinsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok at LinsWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel. It's MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like and subscribe and tell him his content is awesome because we love Matt and he's fantastic. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward, and you've been listening to Rack, and we will see you next week. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.